We want you to put your CEO hat on for a moment and think about what you would like to get out of your business and whether it's changed from what you originally thought your business would be.
Evolving in and with your business is a really good thing. It's okay to admit that you might have changed or your interests and skills might have changed or evolved. If we all had a business that basically stayed the same from the start, we wouldn't be able to adapt to changes.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire.
Hello and welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 50. Can you believe it? We're so thrilled to be able to share these conversations with you every 2 weeks, and we want to thank you for listening and sharing the podcast. As you can imagine, we put a lot of time and work into this podcast, so when we hear from our colleagues who enjoy it and who find it, even a small part of our conversations, helpful in their business, it makes it all the more worthwhile to keep it going. So thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. I really can't believe that we're celebrating episode 50. I feel like we just started the podcast like last week or something. And it's truly incredible to see the community of our listeners and see that you're recommending the podcast to your colleagues. It really means a lot to us. And we're always so excited to hear from our listeners by email, on social media, or in person. So thanks a lot for that. So before we start, we wanted to let you all know that we have a new page on our website dedicated to the events where you can find us and meet us if you happen to be attending the same ones that we are. You can find that page on our website at smarthabitsfortranslators.com/events. We've already added the events we're attending and speaking at this fall, so we hope to see many of you there, either in person or virtually.
Right. In fact, one event where we'll both be speaking, albeit separately this time, is at the upcoming Innovation in Translation Summit, which will be October 4th through 6th. If you haven't signed up yet, make sure you head to innovationintranslation.com to grab your free ticket. But like we said, if you want to see where we'll be in the coming months, head to our website and check out our events page. Okay, today we want to piggyback a bit on the topic of our last episode about conducting a business audit. If you didn't hear that one yet, tune in to episode 49 after you listen to this one. So what do we mean when we talk about creating a vision? Well, it's really about what you would like to get out of your business and what you'd like your business to do for you and to be going forward.
Exactly. Forming a vision for your business is like creating a roadmap. You're basically laying out the path you want to take, or even saying, okay, this is where I want to go, even if I'm not totally sure yet how I'm going to get there. It's your vision for where you want to be. But before we dive into the heart of this conversation, we want to hit the pause button for a moment to share a special announcement.
Yeah, in many episodes of Smart Habits for Translators, you hear us talk about the importance of finding time to work on your business. We've talked about the benefits of conducting a business retreat, either solo or with a trusted colleague, and how important it is to take the pulse, if you will, of your business and various areas of your work and personal life. Well, we know how difficult it can be to find time and motivation to do that. It's also difficult to do it consistently and not treat your business goals the same way many people treat New Year's resolutions, meaning you define them once a year and then life and work get busy and those big goals you set for yourself start gathering dust, leaving you with a huge amount of guilt.
We believe that checking in with your business several times a year is a much healthier approach. Knowing that the next check-in point is just around the corner helps you stay focused. It also means you can create much more manageable goals when you look 90 days ahead instead of wrapping your head around an entire year's worth of plans and aspirations. A lot of us are more disciplined and motivated to actually sit down and work on our business strategically and intentionally when we do it alongside a trusted colleague or a few. that deep group work can be motivating and inspiring, and challenges that seem insurmountable when you try to crack them alone suddenly appear in a new light when you talk them through with friends and colleagues. Previously on the podcast, we shared how much we enjoyed doing a virtual business retreat together. And now we've decided to open it up to some of you, our listeners and colleagues, so that you can join us.
Yes, we're excited to host a virtual business retreat. So mark your calendars for September 28th, 2021. This is an opportunity to make a plan for the next 90 days, the last quarter of the year, and make sure you finish 2021 on a high note. So perhaps there's an area of your business that you'd like to start, grow, or improve, or maybe need clarity around what's not working for you in your business and what changes you need to make. Perhaps you have an income goal and you'd like to make a solid plan to achieve it. Or maybe you'd like to improve your work-life clarity, making time in your life for other things that are important to you besides your work. Whatever your aspirations might be for the last quarter of 2021, we'd like to offer you an opportunity to work on it together in our first ever Smart Habits for Translators virtual business retreat. We'll be there every step of the way with you, and we're sure you'll find this experience energizing, rewarding, and great for your business too.
To learn more about the retreat and to register, head to our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com/retreat. That's RETREAT. We want this experience to be immersive and interactive, so we're limiting it to 20 people on a first-come, first-served basis. And the best part, there's no registration fee. We simply ask you to make a donation of your choice, and all proceeds will go to supporting the podcast. So don't delay, register today at smarthabitsfortranslators.com/retreat. We'd love to work with you on the areas of your business you want to improve and finding more work-life clarity.
Okay, so back to the topic of this episode, creating a vision for your freelance business. As we said in episode 49, we want you to put your CEO hat on for a moment and think about what you would like to get out of your business and whether it's changed from what you originally thought your business would be. So these are really big picture questions. You might not be able to sit down and think about the answers to these in one sitting. I know that for me, I need to take several days to consider, you know, these types of questions about my business. And I think it's also important to remember that you may not have the answers just yet. At least for me, I find it puts a lot of pressure on myself mentally, emotionally, you know, and creates stress if I think I need to have an absolute answer. What about you, Veronica?
Yeah, I think that we're often so much in like kind of deep in the weeds of our business that we don't see the big picture. We don't allow ourselves the time to think about it. It's not like you're going to have a clear answer right away, but you need the space to think about it. And it really requires a clear head and some space, no distractions, nothing digital. You know, that's what I feel like. I want nothing digital around me. I want to like have my laptop with, you know, all the distractions there and my phone next to me with all these like alarms and notifications and phone calls. I just want the time and a space where it's just me and maybe a blank notepad or one of those big poster sized papers and some post-it notes. So, you know, maybe a change of space or environment would be helpful. Maybe I want to do that in a different part of my house or maybe outside of my home at all, you know, and just have that different environment where I can really feel that I have the time to think about it, to get in the zone and just enjoy having a clear head, maybe allow myself to just sit there and think for a while and knowing that I may not have an answer right away, but at least I have an opportunity to start thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's really important to think about the vision for your business at least once a year. In fact, I would suggest 2 to 4 times a year. So when I add these questions about what I would like to get out of my business and how it's evolving to my business audit, it makes it easier to make the time to consider these things. I think it's also important to note that evolving in and with your business is a really good thing. It's okay to admit that you might have changed or your interests and skills might have changed or evolved. If we all had a business that basically stayed the same from the start, we wouldn't be able to adapt to changes either in the market or with technology and what you see your clients need or what you're interested in. So doing this regularly and thinking about these questions several times a year can help us to keep the pulse of our business top of mind.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I was listening yesterday to the ATA podcast and it was one of those specialization special series episodes. And the guest was Abigail Dahlberg, our colleague, and she works in the areas of waste management and sustainability and environment. And I was fascinated to listen to her talk so openly, and you know, you could tell she was happy about how her business has evolved over time, and that it hasn't stayed the same, and that she's continuing to evolve with it, and she's continuing to see, okay, well, how is the market changing, and what can I offer that something, for example, like MT cannot offer? Mm-hmm. And I thought that it was just a really wonderful conversation. If you haven't heard it yet, go check it out. It's only about, I think, 30 minutes or less. And it was just really nice to hear that perspective from someone as well, who, you know, specializes in something very specific like that. But let's jump into the first question. What would you like to get out of your business? So notice that I didn't say, what would you like to do in your business? In this case, you want your business to support what you want for your life and for your everyday needs. And that means not only your income, but your lifestyle. What would make you feel fulfilled in your business? For me, it's the flexibility that my business brings that allows me to take on other projects that are also important to me, like volunteering for a professional association, or writing my blog, or teaching courses, and being able to take time off whenever I need to.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I used to work in the corporate world, and becoming a freelancer was a conscious decision. I really wanted flexibility, and I wanted to pursue my passions and work for myself. So flexibility is a huge factor for me, too, when thinking about what I would like to get out of my business. Mm-hmm. And I really like how you phrase that, you know, not what you would like to do in your business, because I feel like when you run a business, there's always something to do.
Always.
Yeah. But is it something that adds value, that brings you closer to your goal, to your dream? You know, that's a big question. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I agree that flexibility is super important. And as someone who has many obligations, many interests, many passions, has a family, I want my business to allow me to do all that financially, in terms of schedule and framework. And I really want my business to allow me the room for growth, too. That's an important factor. I want to be able to, you know, change things up or change direction if I feel that it's needed or it's something that I want. Let's think about the next question. Has your business changed from what you originally thought it would be? As we said, it's okay that your business evolves and changes, right? It's even okay if you try something and decide that you don't like it. Mm-hmm. I think we shared several times in the previous episodes that we both started out as medical interpreters. Mm-hmm. For me, it's something I really enjoyed at the beginning of my career.
Yeah, me too.
And then it just didn't work out for me with the unpredictable schedule of having little kids.
Yep.
And someone getting sick all the
exactly.
time, or worrying that you might pick something up and mm-hmm. you know, bring it home to a little baby, or like getting a babysitter or a nanny, because mm-hmm. we don't have family around just like you, Madalena. So like, how would I make it happen? That was a big debate for me, because I really enjoyed medical interpreting, but we just had to step away from it, and translation worked perfectly with my schedule. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I started translating and thought, you know, this is something I enjoy, and it kind of, you know, you kind of get into it and you just keep going. And then I tried working in localization, and I realized this is what I enjoy even more. This is maybe something I enjoy the most. And I saw the future in this field for me, and I saw the demand there.
Yeah.
So since a couple of years ago, I really started doing more localization work. And especially last year, I really pivoted to mostly localization related work. So to me, that's, you know, that's an example of how change happened for me, is and that's not something, you know, some parts of it I was maybe kind of uncomfortable with at first. And that question mm-hmm. is like, oh, is it okay that I change? You know, am I being sort of untrue to my original goal, or is that what I envisioned? But it's really good to change. It means that you're reacting to the demands of the market, to what the clients are looking for, to what you notice you're interested in. So I feel like it's really healthy. And I also see that with some of my past students at the local college where I teach, they realize after they have started working, after working for a while, they realize that they, for example, don't enjoy translation as much as they enjoy interpreting, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So it's really good to allow yourself that flexibility and opportunity to change and evolve as you see fit.
Yeah, I definitely, I think that's really important to think about as well. And I think if you maybe feel like you have to just stick to the one thing you started with, I think that if you find yourself in a place where you're unhappy, that's going to play out in other areas of your life. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, we don't have to be purists, you know, we don't have to always stick with what we started with. I mean, life evolves. I never thought I'd be a translator. I was studying to be a professor, you know, and turns out I can still use my teaching background in teaching my courses, which is something I love, but I'm really happy that I'm not a professor at a university with, you know, all the things that they have to deal with. And I think sometimes I find it myself inspiring when I meet colleagues who have this like enlightening moment. I've had a couple of students in my copywriting courses who said, I like this way better than translation. I'm going to work on this and shift my business. And a couple of them have completely. Mm-hmm. They no longer translate. They really just love creating copy. And that's what they do now. And they said, this is like my dream job. So it's amazing how if you don't, you know, hold yourself into this little box, right? You don't keep yourself in this little box of saying, this is what I do. This is all I'm allowed to do. You know, that kind of way of thinking, that you can have some endless possibilities. And like you said, it's also a healthy thing.
Right. Oh, that makes me think of the example that our colleague Molly Urich shared in, I think it was an article for the Savvy Newcomer blog about how she pivoted to subtitling last year.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's a really interesting example, too, and we should link to that in the show notes.
That's a good idea. Yeah. So another question to consider that I think is important is, where do you see yourself in 90 days or in 1 year or maybe in 5 years? The reason I mention 90 days is because it's sometimes it's really hard to answer the question in terms of 5 or 10 years from now. A lot can change in that amount of time, both for your personal life and for your business, and as well as for, you know, the market. I mean, think about the past 10 years in the world of translation. How much has changed? It's incredible, right? And for the professions, you know, a lot of what happens in the market affects our professions, or even in the world. Think about the last year and a half with the pandemic. What interpreters who were working fully on site would have ever thought that their business would completely change to remote interpreting, you know, overnight, pretty much. So I think that it's important to be okay with change, even if it does feel really difficult. I mean, I think about where we were technology-wise, like 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. So much has continued to evolve. And so I think it's good to think about the future, but not to tie ourselves to any like specific expectations, even though, you know, our comfort level might tell us otherwise, right?
Yeah.
Flexibility really is key in the vision creation process, but it's also good to know what your goals and your aspirations are. It's not that you shouldn't shoot for something, but it is important to remember that things will come up. I'm trying to think, you know, for myself, how things have changed over the years, and they really have. But like you said, we both started as interpreters. In fact, I was looking at legal interpreting as well, not necessarily in the courtroom, but more outside the courtroom, things like depositions. And I used to interpret for a lot of victims of domestic abuse and domestic violence. And that was great work and I enjoyed it, but it was so taxing. And I realized, you know, this really is not for me. The medical interpreting really fit more of what I wanted to do. But like you said, it just didn't work out in the end with the way that my life was going. So I think that it's totally fine to know that there are other options and you don't have to feel like I need to stick with this one specialization forever or this one service that I offer or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Things are changing so quickly, much quicker in our day and age than they did, say, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. We are much more connected as a society. We have access to information. It's like at our fingertips, you know, compared to 10, 15, 20 years ago. And we really have this tightly knit community of translators and interpreters online that we can tap into and learn from. So we can see what other people are doing, learn from each other, get ideas, discuss them with colleagues, hear from our clients much easier, or observe what they are needing and how the market is evolving. And so we need to be open-minded and flexible too. Yeah, I can really relate to, some of the challenges of people who get very excited about ideas. I'm one of those people. Like when I see someone who's working on like a cool new specialization or goes back to school, like our colleague Corinne McKay, when she started studying conference interpreting, I'm just in awe of the people who are open and willing to put in the time and effort to pursue their passions and dreams. Mm-hmm. And I'm also quite tempted at maybe going to back to school myself at one point. I saw mm-hmm. a colleague last year and recently again talking about doing a degree in forensic linguistics. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm so interested.
Yeah, I saw that. That was so cool. Oh.
And pre-pandemic, just before the pandemic started, I bought the materials and started learning about how to prepare and pass the local court interpreter licensing exam here in Texas. So that was on my radar, and unfortunately I had to put it on the shelf for now, well, last year and for now, but I do want to pursue that idea eventually.
Cool.
So it's good to be open-minded. Mm-hmm. And not just us, many other professions are changing too. Technology affects so many different fields. So we all have to stay up to date on what's going on and stay connected with our network.
Yes.
Okay, so another question you might consider when creating a vision for your business is, what do you need to do to make this vision a reality? And this goes back to what we shared in episode 49 about conducting a business audit. So you need to put your business development hat on and brainstorm the different ways you can achieve what you'd like to achieve in the next 90 days, 1 year, or 5 years. For example, what kind of clients would you like to have more of? What type of projects or client work would you like to find? Where would you need to go to find mm-hmm. them? Are there any strategic collaborations that may be helpful to you or that you can think of? Where do you need to do your networking? What diversification opportunities should you consider? There are so many questions that you can ask yourself, and these are some that really can get the gears turning. You could also take into account what has worked well for you. What have you enjoyed doing so far? Mm-hmm. What are you curious to explore? And maybe something that you would like to drop because it's not working for you anymore for whatever reason, financially or in terms of interests and how rewarding that type of work or those particular types of clients are. So it's some of the things that can really start off that discussion or that conversation in your own head mm-hmm. and help you define what do you need to do to make it happen. It's all about self-discovery and maybe some research. You need some training opportunities. Maybe you need some help and advice from a colleague who has already done something similar. And I feel that this topic of, okay, what is my vision and how do I get there is one of those things that seems absolutely daunting at first. Yeah. And as we mentioned at the beginning, you may not have the answers right away. You may need several days or even weeks to have a clear roadmap. But once you start asking yourself all these questions and really breaking it down, it can be hard to stop because you just want to keep going. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. And it reminds me of also it's sort of like a reckoning with yourself, right? I mean, especially if you're even considering making a change, for your vision of your business, if you're considering adding a new service or changing something completely. We have a colleague right now that I just saw. She posted the other day that she has left the world of interpreting, although she's of course still in touch with everybody and all of mm-hmm. us in translation and interpreting, but she went on to start a degree in social work and she's going to become a social worker. And I was just like, that is so cool. But I imagine that was such a hard, hard decision. It sort of makes me think of an analogy, and probably this is not the best one, but for example, I think we've talked about this before, people who start a book, they feel like they have to finish it.
Oh, me?
You?
Like
you?
Me?
Yes, I don't do that. No, I'm like, nope, if I'm not into it, I'm changing. So it's funny.
I've gotten better.
Good. Yeah, so here's your permission. You can put down the book, and you can put down,
I love that.
Whatever's not working for you, really. I mean, you don't have to answer to other people, you know? And I think that's part of it too. Not you personally, but like you generally, everybody, I think we don't have to answer to other people. It's really what you want for your business and for your life. And like you said, we have a lot of colleagues who are doing some amazing things, and you're like, how are they finding time to do all of this? And it really is just a matter of deciding what do you want, and it doesn't have to be the same as what everybody else does, you know?
Yeah.
So let's wrap up this episode with one final question and also a smart habit tip for good measure. The question to consider after you've laid out your vision for your business is this: how will you define success? How will you know when you've made your vision a reality? Only you can answer this question, as well as the others we've posed in this episode. Think about any milestones or outcomes you want to reach and how you might get there. How will you know you've been successful in achieving your vision? And very importantly, what will you do when you achieve them? Oh, and the smart habit tip: schedule a date on your calendar at least 2 times a year to check in with yourself and review your vision for your business. Review your successes, see if you've hit any of your milestones, and if you haven't, don't be frustrated. Just make a plan to keep moving in the right direction. I think this is something that you could do in tandem with your business audit. You know, something that I think helps to define some of the things for your vision if you do the business audit as well. And I know for me, sometimes the questions I ask myself in my audit help inform my vision for my business.
Yeah, that's so true. And I really think that check-in point is so important. It's your reminder, it's your accountability factor, it's a reason and opportunity to celebrate some of the small victories that you might have otherwise forgotten, you know, as you keep going. And if you really delay that sort of check-in point until, say, the year ends, or you're like starting out a new year and you're thinking back, it may be difficult to remember some of these small victories and tap yourself on the back. Mm-hmm. And for the things that didn't happen, it's a good idea to try and flip the script and try to not think of them as disappointments, but as opportunities, you know. And I think that's another reason why it's important to have that check-in point more often throughout the year than just once, because if you're looking at the things you've achieved and you haven't achieved, say, the 3-month check-in point, it doesn't look as disappointing, I think, than if you looked back 1 year and said, oh, I didn't make that happen. Mm-hmm. Whereas 3 months is still, it's a shorter time frame, and it may be easier to think of what you haven't achieved for some reason as an opportunity rather than a failure. Because you can think, okay, why hasn't it happened? Is this goal even still relevant? Is it important? Has something changed? And if it's still important, what exactly prevented me from achieving it? And do I need to move it up in my queue of tasks? Do I need to give it higher priority? Do I need to get rid of some other things that are maybe less important to free up some space for this goal that you think is still relevant?
I agree. Yeah, I think it's actually giving yourself permission to review and say, is this vision still right for me? Do I still want to do all of these things? Yeah, for sure. All right, before we wrap up, we thought it would be fun to share a smart habit hack from one of our colleagues and listeners. This one comes from Patricia Pães de Souza. Patricia is an English to Portuguese life sciences and healthcare translator based in Lisbon, Portugal. Patricia shared that when she wants to relax or when she needs to recover her good mood at the end of the day, she turns on some music or a podcast episode and goes for a 30 to 45 minute walk to stretch her legs or listen while she prepares dinner. So thanks, Patricia, for sharing your smart habit hack with all of us. You know, it's super easy to forget that a simple thing like turning on some music and going for a walk or listening to a favorite podcast while preparing dinner, it can actually really lift our mood. And it's such an easy thing to do. So I know that helps me as well.
Yes, thanks, Patricia. I really love that tip. And I started doing the same after you shared that tip with us. Mm-hmm. I started putting on some music or a podcast as I cook dinner and just kind of decompress from the day. And to our other listeners, you too can share your smart habits hacks with us. Please send them to us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. Okay, to round out this episode about creating a vision for your business, we wanted to remind you that we're holding a virtual business retreat on September 28th 2021. We'd love to see you there, whether you decide to conduct a business audit in preparation for the retreat or simply use the worksheet we're developing that will help you prepare and make the best of it. You'll find more information about this special event at smarthabitsfortranslators.com/retreat. That's R-E-T-R-E-A-T. Remember that there are limited seats available, so once it fills up, we will close registration.
Right. And for now, we're planning to put a sign-up form for a future retreat if you're interested in that. So if you reach that page and you see that there are no spots left, feel free to sign up for the waiting list and we'll try to hold another one in the future. And that's a wrap on episode 50. We hope you enjoyed our conversation and we'd love to hear from you if you have any thoughts on this episode or suggestions for future episodes. Don't forget that we'll be doing another Ask Us Anything episode this fall to celebrate our second podcast anniversary. So if there's anything you're wondering about or that you'd like to know, send us a message and we'll try to answer your question in that episode. You can leave us a comment on our website, email us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com, or contact us through social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Yes, and as always, if you like this episode, please follow or subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform, share it with your colleagues and friends, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. This only takes a minute, and we recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it. We'll link to that in the show notes.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.